All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Craig Berube, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Ring Aurelia? Just getting out of the black tar there we had and feeling pretty damn good, bro.
You're looking pretty strong.
I just got to get it off there. I didn't mean to surprise everyone with it. What's up, buddy?
It happens. Here we are.
Oh, here we are. Flyers just getting home here off a road trip. Started off great.
And then what happened?
Went a little downhill.
What happens when you have a little late night at the Roxy?
I could probably guarantee you that might have happened. They deserved it, though.
Yeah, of course, big win.
You know, you got to come back. You lose 2-1 in overtime. Carter probably stole a point there for the boys. And you get into Calgary, another one-goal game. Didn't play the best, probably.
Torts wasn't overly happy with
that
one.
He was not overly happy with that one. So it was post-game with our boy
Smithers. Takes the heat of it.
Yeah, I was kidding around. I messaged him, and he said Torts treats him really well. It had nothing to do with that, but it was kind of funny. Just, Oh, Forrester played what?
Imagine being in that position where you actually know you have to ask a legitimate question, but you know you're going to get a shit answer, and you're just still forced to ask it.
He still asked him.
You ask him.
Smithers, he's resilient, man.
He's resilient.
He's the man. I love that guy. Shout out to Smith.
Shout out to
Brian
Smithers.
Smith.
Yeah.
He's the man.
He is the man.
Then they go into Edmonton and they lost to Connor McDavid 5-2.
Yeah, it happens.
Sucks for Carter. Every time he goes home, I know he's won a game there, but like even my 2000th game, we got smoked. It was probably because I wasn't ready to go.
You weren't ready.
So it wasn't the greatest road trip. Obviously, get back home against Columbus here.
Yep.
I'm guaranteeing a win.
I doubled down on that.
Guaranteed. Well, you said Johnny Gaudreau is going to have 40 this year. He's got a long way to go. He's got a little bit of work to do.
I'm not sure if I said that, but
I'm pretty sure you did.
I think he could still squeeze in 40.
On the back nine. No, they're just having a tough time, man. I didn't think they were going to struggle that much, but anyway, Flyboys back home to play them Thursday night.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be great for them to get back home and get buzzing again.
Yeah, it will be.
How quickly you can be, you know, right at the top of the mix there, and then, you know, well, they're still in a wild card position.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But how tight that is, and how much of a dogfight really it's going to be, as it always is, right?
Baller,
right to the end.
Baller, put up those the standings there. There you are,
bring
right
them up.
There.
Oh,
see?
Yeah, right there. Yep. Right in the mix.
Right in the mix. You always remind me a little bit of Austin Matthews when we're playing Menzies. Yeah.
Is it the with stride shot, or the release?
The stride and the shot, the release. But he buried his 30th last night.
No big deal. Hey?
Did it in fashion there, OT, game
Man,
winner.
Man, he could score this
he
guy.
He scores.
He's insane.
He scores. How many is he going to end up with?
I don't know, 45?
He's got 30 now. Wait, he can take a few games off?
Well, I expect
a little dry. Couple nights in a Nettles, Dandy.
Well, you got to always mix in a little dry spell.
He ain't found one yet. No,
you think
I know.
He got 60 in him or what?
60's a lot, but I mean, if 50, someone could do 50. It.
Oh, yeah, if someone could do
he
it.
He could do
him.
It. 69.
Whoa,
that's a high
that's
number.
A
that's always favorite number.
Yeah, 45 is definitely low.
It's pretty low for him. I think he owned
even on a dry
50
spell.
For sure.
Yeah, I would say.
I would,
50,
say,
yeah.
I would think
50 for sure. Yeah, need a 50 goal scorer.
Elvis's team. Well, it wasn't his regular, totally his regular team, but they had a big tournament last week, and they ended up winning it. The Winter Cup was pretty cool. Had a lot of fun with that. Sudsy was able to come over and see Elvie play and. Didn't yell at him too much.
There you go.
The kids played great. It was awesome. A lot of fun. Tom Bunting jumped in and coached. We had a few extra kids from other teams come around, but it was a lot of fun. They did a good job. They played Skate Zone in Hollydale. It was a lot of fun. And Baller, the Rebels, the Philadelphia Rebels, are asking for you to start coming back to games because they win when you show up.
Take me to Boston.
All right.
You want to go to Boston?
Let's go.
Sign him up.
Oh, come on. Jump in
Hop
with me
in.
And Jen. I'm driving up with Jen, my medical trainer. We're heading up tomorrow morning. We didn't take the bus today with the boys, but we did have a big win to end the year, which is always nice. Hopefully get a roll in the right way. Boys playing hard.
It's a great sign.
It's a good sign. It was nice. What else we got? Canada.
What? Well, they're going for the gold, aren't they?
No, they're not.
No,
they're going home today.
They're going home.
Yeah, they lost.
It happens. You know?
It does, man. It's
got to take a year off every now and then. You know.
Yeah, it is. It is heartbreaking to watch though, because they're kids too. It sucks when anybody loses at like even in the playoffs and stuff, NHL, any league. But the young kids, man, it's you get some only get one shot at it. I know we talked about it last week, but it really is a cool tournament and. See a few good players.
Yeah.
Didn't Canada have all first round picks on their team? I mean, I think US might be close to that as well.
Too, yeah.
But we'll see what US can do today. But it's been, since we last talked, I have watched more of the tournament. So it's been pretty good. Yeah. It's been good.
Always a fun time.
It is. It
Exciting.
Is. Fun time of year. You
Back
know what
to
I mean?
Reality.
Back to reality. You got twinsies coming out everywhere. The Kleisies are dropping off 20s. Riley's giving me shit about my sidesy. My business, my skate sharpening. Sometimes I got to do it right in the middle of the pod.
Well, you got to get those blades grinded up.
It's not very convenient.
It happens.
It's not very convenient.
People need their wheels.
Snap it. They need their wheels done. You see it. I open up a thing. There's twinsies falling out.
Can't blame you having so many twinsies falling out of your pockets.
A lot more of those, so we can catch up to you. Us three are trying to get there.
Yeah,
you know, that
keep
elite
trying.
Level.
Just keep grinding, Nest. Just keep grinding.
That's all I do. That's all I do. But hey, this week, episode 141. Our boy.
Oh man, he's back.
In the house.
He's back.
He's back.
The chief.
That's his name, Craig Berube. He's the chief.
Ready to rock?
I'm ready to rock, bro.
All right,
let's go, Chief.
Before we get into our interview with the Chief, a quick message from our sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. You know that, Nast?
I sure do, because I have one of the craziest schedules you will ever see. Even more crazier than yours, Riles. But I'll tell you what, it makes my life so much easier. You get over 40 recipes to choose from every week, so there's always something delicious to discover, even though, I'm kind of like a picky eater, not with HelloFresh.
No.
It's, oh my God, it's so good and so easy and convenient when you have your own son and then two bigger sons that live here, my billets. It's just great.
And that's why it's America's number one meal kit, Nast.
It sure is.
HelloFresh does all the shopping and meal planning for you. Ingredients arrive at your doorstep pre-portioned and ready to cook, along with pictured step-by-step recipe cards. That's easy as can be, Nast. Easy enough for you and your three sons.
Yes, exactly. And you know when I'm putting stuff on the table and they say it's delish, I'm not giving anyone credit. I will here because it's HelloFresh, but thank God for them.
Don't be taking all the credit, Nast. We all know HelloFresh takes the hassle out of mealtime, but did you know that it can also save you a lot of money? HelloFresh is 25% less expensive than takeout, so that means you can get an easy home-cooked meal on the table and more money back in your pocket. You love that extra money in your pocket.
You know the twinsies are flying with the Kleisies. We talked about it.
We did. You look like a pretty strong chef back there firing these meals up.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I am.
Yeah, well, what's your favorite, Nast?
One of my faves is the pulled pork. That, yeah. Ooh. So many favorites, honestly. I've eaten more healthy food now since I've started with HelloFresh than I ever have, so.
Pulled pork nachos.
I don't mind them. But I'll tell you this, Riles. Go to HelloFresh.com/50Knuckles and use code 50Knuckles for 50% off plus free shipping.
Whew.
Again, go to HelloFresh.com/50Knuckles and use code 50Knuckles for 50% off plus free shipping.
America's number one meal kit.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we're very fortunate to have a good friend of the show, a good friend of ours, Stanley Cup winning head coach of St. Louis, a veteran of over 1,000 NHL games. A lot of penalty minutes, too, there, big boy.
A lot of pims.
Mr. Craig Berube, the chief. What's up, brother?
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on. Good to see you guys.
Good to see
you. I hate that you're around these areas for this reason, but we're happy to have you in. It's been a while.
Yeah.
You were our second episode ever.
Second?
Yeah. Well, right?
Yeah.
It was number two. Yeah.
Quite a few years back.
Hartsy said he fault you for it.
Was he number one?
He was number one, so he...
That's your guys' fault.
Oh, man. No, he said he was just that tough, so he said you didn't want to argue with it.
Hartsy. I remember Chara punched him in the head one time, and he'd come back to the bench. I'm like, you're not going to drop the gloves with him? I go, the guy drills you right in the head, and you just sit there and look at him. He goes, I'm not fighting him. He's 6'9".
Don't blame him.
That's such a hard-seeing comment.
Good job. That's a good call by you.
I might have been mopping him up
there. Yeah.
Anyone for that matter.
For sure. Like
that with Chara. That's
smart
hilarious.
He's still around. He's still talking about the stuff.
He's on TV now.
He is on
TV. You see
TV.
Him on TV?
Yeah, I didn't watch him.
Yeah.
Archie's good.
Yeah, he is good.
He's doing a great job.
He's doing good. Real good.
Good man. Good man. I know your favorite play probably his ever is when he threw that glove. Oh, I know you talk about that a lot.
I was like, who does that? That was unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
I laughed so hard. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was like,
oh, man.
Classic Hartsy.
So you got home for the, I know you usually would get home for the holidays and everything, but this time you actually got to spend, you know, more than 2 or 3 days, and how was that with the family?
Good, yeah. You know, the family's not with me when I was in St. Louis, so it's good. Come home, kids, you know, wife, and just being around. You know, went to Florida after Christmas for a few days with them, and you know, it's been nice, just kind of, you know, relaxing.
Yeah,
not really focusing on anything and just enjoying time.
Is that what the plan is? Just kind of
right now. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm not gonna just jump at anything. And this time of year, I think, you know, teams, it's kind of hard to make changes, I guess, this time of year. Depends. We'll see what happens.
Sorry. Nasty violation.
That's a $100 fine.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Any media opportunities, or is that something?
Yeah. You know, we'll see. I think there's an opportunity to do some TV maybe. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see how that goes or when they reach out. And
yeah.
I'll think about it, but that could be a possibility for sure.
Mm-hmm. You, we were talking before we started here. You jumped on with Jay Rosehill,
yeah,
yesterday on his daily thing. Did you say something to him about his game? You were saying there about a stick. I know you used to tell Ben Eager that.
The few guys, oh, probably. Yeah.
Leave it on the bench.
Yeah.
No, I didn't say that to Jay. It's a good man, Jay. You know, I was had the chance to coach him here in Philly and be around him, and he's doing well. They had me on the show yesterday, and so it was good to see him. Haven't seen him in a long time, and seems like that show's doing well, and he's doing well, which is good.
Yeah, he has some pretty good clips we see once in a while. Try to catch it daily, but he was talking about, I know it's a Toronto-based show, basically. But boy, he laid it. It was the one day I think he was laying into Marner, and just like, whoa. But he was right.
He's right.
He was right. But he kind of sees it out. He says it out.
Yeah, it's a harsh media there in Toronto for sure. I mean that they're they scrutinize them pretty hard. Yeah. The team. So
was it like that when you played there? I know you spent a whole lot of time there.
Yeah, but I played there only for about a half a season. I don't know. I doubt it. No, I don't think it would have been as bad then as it is now, I think.
Yeah.
And, just the way their team's built and the players they have on it, and they expect to win.
Yeah.
So when I was there, we weren't expected to win. We weren't very good. But now with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, and these guys, they got, real good players, and, they expect to win and do things there.
Yeah. Well, they finally – who had the curse? Who do we have that said
– JR.
JR, yeah. We had JR on Jeremy Roenick, one of your former teammates, on, and he was talking about the JR curse. They finally got past the first round because it was the last time they had was the Flyers score. He scored that overtime goal, got way back.
How many years ago was that?
It was so long ago. But Matthews scored his 30th last night.
Yeah. He can score.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Very good player. I mean, he's legitimately the best scorer in the league, or one of them for sure, and good size, and he's a hell of a player. He really is good.
I know you're like when you're coaching, you're more worried about your team, but if you did get to watch other games, like during the playoffs and stuff, what is it with them, do you think, that – well, they won in the first round last year, but what is it with that team? Why can't they, keep going? Are they soft? Like, not, I don't mean that to be a dick, but like, are they too soft?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of a combination of things. I think when you get into the playoffs, you have to have a certain style, I think, to advance and keep moving on. It's a grind. It's like it's a heavy game.
Yeah.
It's a heavy game. And I just maybe find that they try to play too much of a skilled game still in the playoffs, and that can bite you in the ass. I mean, you got to play pretty direct. You got to be able. You got to want to forecheck and play good defense, and it's a grind. Grind it out. And but it's hard for me to comment on that. I'm not there.
Right.
I don't like to say too much, But they definitely have a ton of skill on that team with them top guys, and I don't know. I mean, I couldn't really tell you the answer on that.
You feel like when you were watching the last few years, they just in their own heads almost, because that's all everyone talks about, right?
And it's a lot of pressure there. I mean, you're hearing a lot every day, a lot, probably more than any place else in the league, about, what's going on, and, every little situation scrutinized, and players and this and that, and it's a grind. It's hard on you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Can't be easy.
No,
it's a tough place.
Yeah.
Tough place to play, tough place to be. And, on the team, there's like a lot of pressure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How did the firing all transpire? Was that something that you saw coming?
I don't know if I really saw it coming. Like, I guess I wasn't looking at it like that. I mean, playing Vegas back-to-back, and we beat them in Vegas, come home, we were up in that game, we lose that game at home, then we go on the road to Columbus and Chicago, and, we blew both those games. just made mistakes and kind of didn't perform at the level needed against teams that we should beat.
Yeah.
And came home, played Detroit again. It was like a back and forth game, lots of goals. I didn't think anything was going to happen, but, you know, after the game, did the media and came in my room, and then Doug came in. So I knew, because Doug never comes down after the game. Yeah, I usually talk to him after the game on the phone. So I knew something was up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but it was time. You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, the team just wasn't performing at a good enough level. And, you know, whatever the reason, they got tired of hearing me and or just, you know, you got to move on at some point.
Yeah.
Hey, it's frustrating when you're like, you coach as well, obviously, Chief, you've been coaching. You sometimes wonder, I get, we always hear like, oh, the message is getting stale, like whatever. I never thought you got stale. There's a few guys I've worked for that I didn't really think ever got stale, but it's frustrating because, like, as I've never been at the level you guys have had, but just playing high school, college, whatever, like, I always want to win and I always want to compete. It blows my mind sometimes when you have guys. I know it's a totally different thing because it's, you're an NH, you make a lot of money, it's a business, all this stuff, but it kind of drives you nuts a little bit when you see that happen.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's frustrating. It's a frustrating coaching's frustrating in general. Like, I mean, it's you know, you can't go out there and play. You try to prepare your team best possible. You know, holding people accountable as best you can. Like, it's about, you know, a team being a team and playing together as a team. That's how you win, and that's how you perform at a high level every night. You know, I think just we had good spurts of good team play and good hockey, but just not consistent enough. Yeah. We're inconsistent, so inconsistency is not good, and you know, that's what happens. You get, you know, things have to change.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in a rebuild, which is what,
yeah,
kind of said.
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused on where, like, last year the Flyers probably should have lost more games to get a chance at Bedard. I know no one wants to lose, right? Like, everybody's like tank, but. You were 500 when everything went down with you. Like,
if you're rebuilding, four game losing streak. I mean, right? Is that what it was? And is that,
it just seems a little. It, to me, I mean, I don't know. It just seems a little odd.
I think we're in a rebuild, or they talk like a rebuild, but still want to make playoffs.
Yeah,
well, that's not rebuilding.
No, it's tough. Like, I mean, it's just, listen, every time I went behind a bench, I wanted to win the game.
Of course, yeah, of course.
That's all that mattered.
Yeah, 100%. And that's,
we want to win the game.
And the players should want to win the game. I mean, obviously.
I think they did want to win.
Right.
Like I said, we just, I think, didn't perform well enough as a team, you know. Yeah. We had individuals playing well and on, you know, nights. And there were some guys playing pretty consistent hockey. But just on a night-to-night basis, you know, we weren't, we didn't play well enough as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not good enough to get by, like, you know, a Toronto can go out and two of their skilled guys can win a game for them.
Right.
You know, yeah. we're not built like that.
Yeah. Well, it's always easy to fire the coach. How was, like, the core of the leadership group there? Was it obviously different from when you went?
Yeah,
the
it was new. I mean, you know, it was a new leadership core. Did a lot of work in the summer with them and going forward through camp and everything to try to prepare these guys and what's needed to lead the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're still learning. I, you know, they're just trying to find their way still.
Yeah,
you
know? Yep. It's a process, right?
Yeah.
Some of these guys have maybe never been in those types of roles before, right? I mean,
yeah, for sure. And it's not an easy job.
No,
you know, when you're a leader, you're expected to do more. There's more expected of you, and it's a big sacrifice to be a leader on the team. It really is. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I mean, since you won the cup, you know, losing O'Reilly, you lost Petrangelo, your captain, even Patty Maroon, who wasn't one of your captains, but probably was a leader on that team. It's tough when you're replacing guys. I know O'Reilly just left last year, but still, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, he, you know, O'Reilly was good. Like, I mean, real good player for sure. And he did a good job as a captain, but, you know, he obviously leads by example with his work ethic daily. Like, this is at practice, you know, before practice. Like, I mean, there's not a more prepared guy.
You really have.
But yeah, he works at the at his game at a high level.
I love
that. Like,
he
doesn't take days off.
Yeah,
you know, he's always out there doing things and working on his game. And, you know, he's got very, like, he's very good at self-awareness and when he's not good enough. And you can tell, like, he gets pissed off at himself and he critiques himself very well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He knows when he's not doing a good enough job. And he was good. You know, we had some real good leadership in that organization with going back to when we won and even before that. You know, with Steen and Bollmeister and Petran.
Yeah, right. I forgot about Bollmeister.
Yeah. A lot of guys, you know, that took care of the room and took care of things, did a good job.
Yeah, that was a scary situation. I forgot about the
Bollmeister
there. Too. And I remember talking to you the next day and you said, he didn't look good laying there.
Yeah, it was a tough situation to be part of and see that. And but Bo's doing great.
Is he?
You know, he comes and sees us out west when we're on the road all the time. He comes by. He's one of the best. I love Bo.
Yeah.
And, you know, he comes by to Calgary or Edmonton, says hi to us and chats with us for a while. And he's doing really well, so it's good.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the videos you see of O'Reilly, like, before the game with the ball. Kind of skills, yeah. Kind of like me, you know, with the Mennies chief. You know, you've seen him.
We got a few guys with the ball out there before the our games and stuff, and I'd be like, "Who the fuck is stick handling out there?" Because I could hear it in the room. Yeah.
chopping it up.
Oh my god, what are you doing?
Oh, that's great. You had our buddy this year, obviously about a half a year, but Kevin Hayes.
Yeah, Hazy.
Good, great guy.
Great guy. I liked Hazy. You know, a real good locker room guy and a player that, you know, he doesn't have great speed or those types of things, but he's, you know, good with the puck and can hang on to the puck and big and strong. And he's a great guy, Hazy.
Does the patience drive you crazy sometimes, like holding on to the puck, or is that just kind of like let him do his thing with those guys?
I think at times, I mean, you know, I think it just depends on the situation.
Right.
You know, that's his game.
Yeah,
so
it is,
you got to let him play his game to a certain extent, you know, hanging on to the puck and being patient with it. But, you know, definitely there's times where you want him to move it or shoot it or do something with it.
Yeah.
But he does have a lot of patience with
it. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And then Braden Schenn, obviously you're a fan of Schenner with the Flyers. He's the captain this year.
Yeah.
I mean, seems to have been a role he was evolving into. I mean,
yeah, I would say so. You know, I think coming into this year, he was chosen to be the captain, and it was the right choice. I think that there's some future guys there, but they're still a little young and not ready for it. And I think that's always a mistake that you can make, is giving it to a guy that's not ready.
Yeah.
But Schenner's been around. He's won. He's seen some real good leaders. So he's still learning and you know, as being the captain, like I said, it's a big commitment. And, but, you know, Schenner, I've been with Schenner a long time. You know, I liked Schenner a lot.
Yeah. Is that an organizational decision? Does that have players' influence on that?
Like, just organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. No players.
No players, no.
Well, a lot of them would probably want to think they're the captain.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they do.
Oh.
And Flyers are still waiting on their captain.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Like, I think we could have went into the season without one personally. Right. You know,
how do you feel about that? Like, do you think that's the right play to go without a captain?
I think it is if your team's kind of like you talk about a rebuild or just trying to you know, get to another level. Like, you know, I think it's okay not to have a captain. Yeah. I don't think it.
Like, just to slap a C on someone's jersey just for the sake
of it. That's not the right move.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think it's okay to do that and, you know, wait till the opportunity comes in the right, that you think is the right time and the right person to give the C to.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, if you're a team that's ready to, you know, do something, then I think it's probably important to have a captain.
Yeah. Can make a statement at some point. I mean, I think it's interesting to see what the Flyers do because obviously there's, you know, lots is rocking the A. They've never, Torts has come out and said, you know, not going to announce one anytime soon. But, like, you know, they make a playoff run and you're going into playoffs and, you know, like, I mean, at some point, it's like, do you make a statement and say, like, this is, like, who we chose is the captain to lead us the rest of the way? Or do you still hold your cards to your chest?
I would say wherever they get to this year, I don't think that'll change. No, I think they'll just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're doing well.
Yeah.
They're playing good hockey and they're above expectations right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think any changes are needed.
Yeah. I agree.
I was going to ask you, but the Jordan Bennington there in St. Louis, he seems to really hate to lose, which is what you want. But sometimes his antics, I don't even want to say it, just snap shows. Did it drive you nuts or were you just kind of chuckling under your breath?
I mean, I didn't. I mean, I get it. It's emotional and he's an emotional guy and he gets upset and takes kind of matters in his own hands at times. I think you want your goalie not to probably get involved that way, you know, I really, but at the same time, you know, there's times that, you know, I don't blame him either, you know, things happen and, you know, he wants to do something about it or whatever. And, sometimes, like I said, his emotions, you know, get to the best of him a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was always good about it. I just talked to him after about it and, you know,
what were you doing? What were you thinking? What were you doing?
Yeah, but then he was fine. Like, you know, he just moved on from it and get ready for the next game.
Yeah.
What did he want to flower him and Marc-Andre Fleury? And Flower was mic'd. It was pretty funny. Hey, he wants to, what was he saying? He wants to fight. Like, let me go, you know.
Yeah, Flower, he said that he'd never been in a fight before and he wanted to get in one.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think I said to you one day on the phone, like, is Bennington tough? You're like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, he better be.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Sooner or later, someone's going to find out if he is or not.
No, I don't know. I'm sure he could handle himself, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I just used to chuckle a little bit when he would go nuts. I kind of liked it just because when goalies do that.
Makes for good for TV.
Yeah, it makes good TV. And then, you know, you probably got an answer to it, though, with the media.
Yeah,
one of my favorite things in St. Louis, now my mind's going blank on one of the guy's dads. Was asking you a question, you know, you thought you were doing a media script.
Bozak.
Oh, yeah, no. That's what it was. Yeah, Bozak.
It was like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
I forget where we were. And
it was a dad's trip, right?
Yeah.
And he got in with the media.
Yeah, he was in the media and he's asking a couple questions to me about ice Bozy's time? Ice time.
Didn't you say he needs to be better or something?
Well, I said, you know, we looked at his ice times over the last month or so and right now, this seems to be the best ice time for him. We don't want him to overextend himself. He's a little bit older of a player now, so we got to rest him.
That was great. I loved it.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh, man.
What were your thoughts on the Jordan Kyrou? I mean, obviously, you probably saw the media clip there, you know, being a little bit short with his original answer. And then
I just think he's a young kid. Or he's not a kid. Like, he's still young and, you know,
immature a little bit.
Whatever, they just answered the way they answer it, and then everybody, you know, it got escalated.
It got escalated,
and it shouldn't have, but it did, and then he got emotional about it, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me at all. I have no comment, to be honest with you. Like, what am I? I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I actually feel for the kid.
Yeah,
you know?
I felt like, bad.
Because, you know, he got put in a situation, he didn't know what to say, so he said nothing, and, you know, then fans and everybody get on him and it gets escalated over nothing.
Yeah.
But
yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, it breezed over pretty quickly. I think he came back and
scored a couple
of apples and then he's like, everything's good, right?
One was an empty net, so it doesn't count. Yeah. But anyways.
What would Ally Afraidy have done?
Shot it wide.
You got to tell it.
He said, I don't score in empty net goals. He goes, I don't shoot pucks in empty nets.
Where were you guys playing, Ottawa?
Yeah, we were playing somewhere and he had a chance to score and he shot it in the corner and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm freaking out. And you know, because could end the game, right? But he doesn't, and he goes, I don't score an empty net.
What did Murph say?
Real men don't
Murph
score.
Freaked out. Oh, I bet. Real men don't score empty nets.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Big Al.
That is classic.
Oh, thank God.
He's legend.
What did the rest of the boys say when that?
Oh, God.
Put the game away.
Huh?
You put the game away. What happens if they come down and score or something?
Of course.
It's unbelievable. He was a beauty, Al. He made you laugh.
Real men don't score
empty nets. Buy five or six new suits. Make you feel better.
Oh, yeah. Carry 10 grand with him everywhere we went on the road. Yep, time to go shopping, Chief. Let's go. 10 G's. I got to spend it.
It's burning a hole in his pocket. Yeah, I know, right? Oh, he's a beauty. He was one of the best refs.
Well, yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
So one of the first games I played with him in Wash, I walked in between periods to do something in the stick room. I guess I went to do something with my stick, and there was Al. In there, he puts a cigarette in his mouth and grabs the blowtorch and he lights a cigarette up and he's smoking a dart. And I'm looking at him like, are you serious?
He's like
puffing away on a cigarette
just talking,
every period. Nope. Like nothing. Man, shirt
no
off.
Big deal,
you know, just I was laughing. I couldn't believe what I saw. He's a specimen.
Skate 100 miles an hour out there.
Yeah. Huh? Imagine him shooting with these sticks now. Love the back in the
120.
Oh my God! How hard can you shoot?
He could rip it.
It was over a hundo.
Oh yeah,
like
it was the hardest
stick.
Shoot. Back in the day.
He could rip it.
He was, as you know, he was working for Warrior.
Mm, that's right.
And what a guy to like be a stick rep, because this guy knew the sticks, and it was funny. I actually felt terrible because Kimo Tiemann had sticks come in. You would have been there. You would have been coaching with us. And Kimo's like, I think the curve's a little off. So I just call out. I'm like, hey, you might want to make some new sticks for Kimo. He thinks the curve's a little off. He's like, well, I'm coming and see you guys. I was like, well, just have him check it. Maybe send six in, you know, instead, because I just had received 24. Next morning, I'm at the rake there at Skate Zone. Somebody's banging on the door early, like 7 a.m. I open up. It's Big Al. His head shaved. Fucking dark.
Off his Harley?
Come on out. No, he lived in Detroit. He drove all night.
Amazing.
And I said, what are you doing? Did you drive? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, grab some cigs. got in the car, listened to music, cruised here all night. He's like, come on out here. Let's talk. And I went, well, I don't smoke. He's like, well, just stand here with me. So we go out there, we're talking, we come back. Kimo comes down the hallway a little bit later once he gets there, and he says, he's looking at his sticks again. He goes, I think they're all right, actually. Now the more I look at them, fucking poor Al drove. Oh, yeah. Al drove all the way from Detroit. Well, we went to lunch and everything.
Oh,
but
my God.
We at the trainers' meetings, the trainers' meetings you've been going to with Toby, one of our sponsors. I was there. This was years back when he was working for Warrior. So, You've been to the place out in Arizona, that big resort. We used to stay there. You've been there, too, because we stayed there your first year.
Yeah.
Well, so that's where the event is. Well, there this year, right? That's
yeah.
where we went this year.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right there. So you can't smoke even at the pool, even though you're outdoors, right? So he comes up from upstairs. He had his golf shirt on, you know, Warrior golf shirt, and he had shorts. And he comes up there, shirt right off over his shoulders, all tatted up, jack, bald head. Sparks up a dart. He's walking with me, and I'm like, hey, you can't smoke out here. He goes, we're outside. This guy comes over and says, hey, sir, excuse me. He's like, you can't smoke by the pool. He goes, it'll be all right, big boy. We're outside. Just keeps going. The guy just, like, walks away. he didn't even ask him again.
I just, like, dude, what are you doing, man? Oh, my
but
God.
But it's funny you said that about the
blowtorch.
Because one of my first few games in Florida right out of college, it was – Huntsie coming off that suspension where Murph was us, Murph puking. That's just Murph puking in the bathroom there. Big Al's there, and I never met him before. I'm looking at this guy. He's a monster. Mm-hmm. He's got his hair's bald, but he's got the hair in the back. No shirt on, sitting in the hallway of Miami Arena. Same thing.
Sparking one up.
I'm like, this guy's smoking during the game. Like, what the fuck is going on? But, beauty. I've told that story, Chief. You told me about him saying real men don't score.
Oh, that's hilarious. A different era.
That's awesome, man. I think you kind of touched on it a minute ago, but you're in no big rush, right, to, like, kind of wait to
like
see?
Like I said, we'll just see what happens. I mean, I want to coach again, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be a good situation. Like, you know, you got to make sure it's a good fit, too, like with your general manager, the organization, what direction they're going in, you know, where they at, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Is it I know with me, like when I wasn't able to go back with the team, the first few months was driving me fucking bananas. Because, you know, you're on a routine.
Yeah.
Is it tough for you that way? Like, or is it being around the kids?
Yeah, kids, you know, they're my twins are 15 and we have five of them all together with my wife, but three 15-year-olds. And so there's a lot of stuff you can do with them. They want to go here. True. They want to go there. You got to drive them places and do all this. Spend money on them. And they're always asking for cash.
You can't take it with you, big boy. Huh?
They'll spend it.
I know they will.
But you're in a routine and you kind of, it gets a little tricky at times, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I go to the gym three times a day and train.
Well,
so.
I mean, obviously. Okay. Why not? Tells me the other day, he goes, what'd you say, a deadlift more than anybody in the world? Or whatever it's called.
Try to keep busy.
Yeah, you got to.
How's Podell doing?
Podes is good. Yeah, I talk to him all the time. He's doing great. He does a great job there. I mean, they love him there.
Yeah, that's good.
Doug Armstrong really likes him a lot, and he's done a great job there with the team. And, he's doing well.
That's good.
He's doing really well. Yeah, he's in great shape, you know. Pode's always working out.
Yeah.
Is he still wearing the single-toe shoes around?
No.
He doesn't do that anymore?
No.
You didn't let him, did you?
Well,
one rule.
Yeah, that was dumb.
I don't know how he's done so well because he wasn't any good.
Well, I think he obviously jumped ship on his own.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Podes?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
No, I meant here.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
He's good at what he does.
Sorry for the quick break, but I got to ask you, Nast, you ever struggle buying tickets online for any sporting events or concerts?
Well, let me tell you. As a matter of fact, yes, and we've talked about this. This week I was just looking for Jonas Brother tickets and can't find good seating, all that. It's very frustrating. You shouldn't have to worry about tickets when you're going to your next event. I'll tell you a place that'll help you, and it's Game Time. It's the fastest and easiest way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, theater, any kind of event near you. Last minute deals, the prices are great. You get views of your seat, and you get the best price guaranteed, and that's all you can ask for, because it is frustrating when you're trying to get tickets and you almost feel like you're getting scammed.
And especially when you're in a jam last second, to go into a reliable source and again, like you said, viewing the seats, knowing where you're actually going to be sitting is important for the experience itself.
Exactly. On the Game Time app, you get last minute tickets, you get flash deals, zone deals. It's the easiest way to buy tickets for any event in your area. So basically what I'm telling you, Riles, is Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase.
With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big time savings.
We all want to save.
Oh, of course.
So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NASTY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NASTY, NASTY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Let's go.
The other day, Chief, I was thinking about, I don't know if I said this to you, but I was watching the Flyers game, and you guys remember there was a ventriloquist guy had the dummy behind the Flyers bench, and it was pretty creepy looking.
Right.
And they kept, every time they showed torch, this guy's got the mask.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought back to when we were in Norfolk in the lockout, and we go to this bar, me, you, Johnny Way. Adam Patterson, and we get into the bar, and there's a guy, there's a ventriloquist, and AP is freaked out by clowns and those dummies. And he goes, we're sitting there, and he goes, I don't like this. This shit creeps me out. Johnny Way says, AP, it's all right. The guy holding him is the one really talking. And we just looked at each other like, what?
Oh, that was such a Johnny Way
comment.
No shit. Oh my God.
So AP a few weeks ago sends me the picture of that.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, don't worry, Nast. It's the guy holding him that's talking.
He was unbelievable, this Johnny Way.
Hey, if you want to win, though, bring him in.
Yeah.
1 year, one
winner.
Winner. The cup, one win, and he's gone.
He's tangible.
He's gone. Oh, he never, Chief always says big boy, and that's big all boy. This guy says. Big boy. 12 Mountain Dews. About five dips big full lippers. This guy was a beauty.
Brought the energy, though.
He brought the energy, and then Pac-Man put you right to bed.
Pac would put you to sleep.
We're talking.
Storytelling.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That's pretty good. Is there any truth to rumblings around talking with Ottawa? I know there was some
rumbling. I haven't talked to him personally.
So that was
more
like speculation around.
Maybe. Yeah, I haven't talked to him personally. But now, like, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, now they're Stajos is the general manager. Dave Poulin come in. Dave. Yeah, which is great for Pooley. Back in the game that way. So we'll see what they do. I mean, they got new ownership, and they got a good team. They got a lot of good young players, you know. They got a good future.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that's good.
The we had Dave Poulin on a while back, and he said something that was really interesting about even guys up now at this level, when they're younger, like nowadays, they're not teaching these kids how to hit or take hits because they're kind of trying to take – and then they're getting up to these elite levels and getting hurt. Turning their backs to hits and shit like that. What do you?
Yeah, I would say to a certain extent that's probably true. You know, I mean, injuries. There's a lot of injuries in the NHL and all sports, football. A lot of injuries because of the speed of the games. The game is so quick. You don't have no time.
Yeah.
And, you know, one wrong position or hit or whatever, it, you know, that could be an injury. But the game's just so fast and it's so powerful now. You know, there's not huge hits. At times there is, but there's just contact all the time.
Yeah.
And that's where guys are where guys get injured. The speed of the game is just fast.
No, it's quick. Yeah.
And you don't have much time to, you know, you don't have time to make decisions that, like, you don't, it's just too quick.
Yeah.
And you got guys like Nick Cousins burying him behind.
I saw that hit that Nicky did.
A beauty.
Yeah. And then he got drilled.
Then he got drilled. Oh. Yeah.
Well, he didn't know why. I think he was looking out of the ear loophole of his fucking helmet.
Ovi hit Hughes pretty good last night.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Like, he was far enough away from the boards where it wasn't, he could have got hurt on that play if he was a little bit closer to the boards because he went into the boards a little bit with more force. But Ovi's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah. And we've talked about this a little bit, Chief. Sometimes some of these kids, kind of on Dave Poulin's point, they expect that they're not going to get hit. Like, sometimes I know the youngest, Luke Hughes, went in this year a couple times.
Yeah.
Like, you're going in to get the puck and there's a guy on you. Like, you got to be ready to get hit.
Yeah. And no, definitely. I mean, there's, you know, I think it's, you're young guys. You know, it takes time to learn. And, you know, like I said, you know, guys are on you right away. It's fast. So if you're not ready and prepared how you're going into the board, especially a defenseman, protecting yourself and doing the right things, you can get hurt.
Yeah. Remember Travis Sanheim was a guy, when he first came in the league, he put himself in the bad spots all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much you've been following the Flyers, but I just bring up his name because we're talking about that. But his game's come a long way, and I feel like he's matured enough where he don't put himself in these spots anymore. He's a little more confidence to his game. And
well,
he's going defenseman, back to pucks.
As a defenseman coming in the National Hockey League, it takes longer to become the player that you're going to become than a forward for the most part. It takes a few years, and he's playing at a high level now.
Mm-hmm.
His skating ability and transporting the puck up the ice, and, you know, he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
A good example is we had Vince Dunn in St. Louis, and same kind of thing. Now Dunner's in Seattle, and he's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but he was good for us too, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't at the level he is at now.
Yeah.
You know? it just takes time for these guys to mature and grow. And sure. As a defenseman, it's a tough position to play.
Yeah, yeah. Going back for pucks and having pressure on you every shift, basically.
Understanding the forecheck, seeing where it's coming, looking, making the right play with the puck, defending, you know, having a good stick all the time to defend. Those are huge things as a defenseman.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I was going to ask you, like, was there any truth to the rumors that you were hearing about Torrey Krug and Sandy getting traded? Or was
For sure. I mean, I think that that was, you know, we would have loved to have Sandheim.
Right.
You know, with the size and his length and his skating ability and young. He's young. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm sure, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, his game definitely, like Riley said, I mean, he's taken a couple steps this year.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck, he's playing 26 minutes a night almost.
Yeah.
And he's played really well. He really has.
Yeah. Any other of those guys that you coached back in the day? Lots. I mean, obviously seeing him kind of grow into that leadership role and mature as a player. I mean.
Yeah, Lots. Obviously, I think, he's a little bit down this year compared to last year, right?
Yeah.
I guess production-wise, you know. I haven't watched him that closely.
Fourth line right now.
Yeah, I haven't watched him that closely this year. But, you know, Lotz is he plays the game hard. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a two-way player and, you know, plays the game the right way. You know, like I said, I'm not following him that closely, so I don't know what's going on with him. But coming out of junior, you know, there was a lot of expectations with him, I think, from – where he was going to play as a centerman, you know, second line, third line, you know, whatever. And, you know, when I first had him, he was a young kid. He had I thought there was a lot of potential there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but realistically now, his age and where he's at, he's probably like a third line center in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. And he's accepting of that, I think, you know. Even
well, and that's a big part of it, too, is accepting your role. Yeah. I think accepting, and that takes time, too.
It does,
like, depending on where you're drafted and the expectations coming out of the draft, and sometimes they don't always work out to be the player that you're expected to be.
Right.
And then it's accepting what you could be and accepting that role, and that's where you become a real good player for your team,
Agree. Yeah,
understanding what you are and accepting of that and that role.
Super important. I think his time down with the Phantoms when he got sent down after, 2 years with the Flyers.
Yeah.
It was certainly humbling. But
he went with the right attitude.
He went with the right attitude, Accepting is exactly the word. I think you go back up and you don't think you're anything you're not now. You know exactly where you need to be, I think. It takes a long time for some guys, guys never figure that out.
There's a lot of, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that don't figure that out.
And yeah.
They're out of the league for the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta get you, I'll bring this up because I tell this story all the time. When I was still on the team, I know I told you guys, we had a day off in Pitt and we were going to Monday Night Football. Well, we're going over to the cheerleaders tailgate. I'm literally in my room and I'm like getting ready to go downstairs and NHL Network's on and Chiefs coach, they're playing in Detroit. They're up 4-1, you blow the lead, you end up winning in overtime. And when you get the game winner in overtime, Chief just storms off. They show the bat, you're just pissed because you gave up three-goal lead in the third. And Braden Shannon called me too, but Chief, actually, I leave my room, go downstairs, start walking over to the stadium, right? A bunch of us saw it. He calls, big boy, what's up? Just watch your highlights. He goes, oh, we were awful last night, you know, whatever, because you blew the lead. And Shinner told me this, that you called timeout because they scored two quick ones. And the boys all come over to the bench and, you know, expecting him to, like, probably lay into him a little bit, like, let's wake up. But he doesn't say anything, and guys are kind of looking, and you're talking to Otter, I guess, and then you look, oh, no, boys, I call timeout so Larkin can rest. So you're letting him do whatever he wants. So just and Shinner, you told me this. Then Shinner literally called me after I hung up with you because he saw a Snapchat I had sent up, and he goes, you should have heard your boy last night. We were crying.
Oh,
and then he does score to tie it. And then you win it in overtime. And I mean, that shit I love because it's like, you know, like it's a serious situation, but at the same time, like you get your guys a little loose and back
up. That's it,
saying
right?
Something like that. I know I would have the towel up. I used to all the time when you would say shit to guys. But and then I think, you told me after the game too. You saw Pietrangelo out there, and you said, "Did you want us to trade you to Detroit?" No, why? Because you were playing for him tonight. That's the fucking greatest.
Yeah, yeah, that's the best.
Boys appreciate that.
You'd say to me on the bench, you want to maybe tell so and so that he's playing for us tonight. And I'm looking at you. What? Are you watching him?
I would say it's the head coach that I'm saying this shit to him. I'm like, you want to keep playing him? What? Shut up and hand guy stinks. He said, learn how to sharpen skates.
Oh, yeah, some funny stuff.
I miss that stuff, man. That was awesome.
Well, you got to do different things at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep them on their toes a little bit.
Sarcasm doesn't hurt once in a while.
Right.
Not too much, but once in a while, I think it's, you know,
yeah,
it's important.
Did Shoney, was he sarcastic? Jim Schoenfeld?
He was sarcastic, Shoney. Yeah.
We had JR, like I said, we had JR on. He said the one time he lipped off to him in the video and showing everybody get out.
Yeah, rolling his sleeves up.
Did they shit kick him?
Big man too.
Oh, he's a big man.
Yeah, that's a good one. That when that happened.
Yeah, I've told a story too. You told before about Shoney when he was talking about Gretz is gonna get it, and he's gonna go here, and he's gonna get it to Blakey, and then he just slams the board, and everybody jumps. And he goes, "I want him dead." Imagine.
That's so old school.
Did you love that? You must have loved that shit.
Shoney was funny, man. I love Shoney. He would have the lineup, you know, before a game, their lineup, and he'd go through all the guys, right? And you know, they have a tough guy on the other team, and he goes, okay, everybody, Chief, if you want to fight him, do it early, get in and get out. Everybody else, stay away from him. He'd always say that.
Yeah.
If you want him, get him early, get out, get in and out, and then everybody else, stay away from him.
Gotta appreciate that honesty.
It was the best. I used to laugh.
Everybody, yep, got it.
She was like, oh, fuck.
Was Shoney more sarcastic than Sutter, than Daryl? Or was it kind of different?
Different, you know. I think, you know, Daryl's pretty quiet on the bench. Shoney, he'd be pretty vocal on the bench at times, you know, pissed off or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But Daryl's more subtle and quiet and kind of whisper things into you, like, you know, lean into you and say something to you, you know? And then just start laughing every time, man. It was unbelievable, some of the shit he did.
What you're telling, I can't remember who it was, Genla and Conroy, and who was on their line? That I always forget the third guy.
Oh, yeah, I was, I started the game with those guys, with Connie and Iggy. So I was like, you know, thinking, you know, you might score tonight.
Yeah.
Start playing with a couple of good players. And we're in Montreal, I believe. It was like after the first period, maybe into the second early and stuff. He kind of leaned in like this. We're all sitting beside each other. And he goes, you guys are done tonight. He goes.
Did he say it's hard game out there?
Oh, yeah, hard game. I know you guys. You guys are like three broads out there tonight. You guys are done.
You're like, what'd I do?
Yeah, well, thanks, guys. Yeah. Fucking got me benched.
Smashing that.
Oh, yeah. He was, Daryl was funny, though. He
come said on, some funny things. What are you laughing at?
Oh, yeah. He grabbed me one time. He came in there and like at the end of the year in Calgary and so I know Daryl. I mean, I knew like all the Sutters pretty much. And he'd come in and say stuff in the room and I'd be like putting my head down because I'd be laughing, right? Because it just, I was an older guy.
Yeah, around. Right.
It's like I wasn't, you know. And he'd come up to me and he goes, what are you doing laughing? And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Did you hear what you're saying?
Do you hear what you're saying?
He goes,
does he do it to be funny though? Or does he not even know he's funny? Like,
no, he knows. I think he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing, what he's saying. But I just laughed. We joked. He laughed about it.
Because
I said, man, it's funny. That's funny, shit you're saying. I can't. I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
He was great. I love Daryl.
Oh, man. We've heard some.
I really enjoyed playing for him. He's the type of guy I would have liked to play for when I was young, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was great.
Yeah. Was he more a little more animated like off the bench in the locker room, or is it still kind of like?
During in between periods and stuff, you never know. Like he could come in and really get after it, or depending on the situation, you know.
Yeah.
Who was Steve?
But he was always up to something. You know what I mean? Like he's just, you know, he kept you on your toes.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Know? Some of the stuff.
I remember Steger, Christopher Steeg was on with us, and he was talking about, he had a brief stint there, and he said it was weird because, you know, like you, what time you go in to address guys, 9 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever it is, you know, quickly in between periods. He's like, they would come, but they would stay in the room. Right. Like Daryl and his staff, and was it Payne? I think he said
Payne.
He's like, this is weird. Like, we're staying in the room. And so Steger's like looking around. It's one of his first games. I think he said they were in Vancouver and his jersey's hanging there. Well, so he grabs a jersey and he puts it on and his fucking, it's for Steeg 10. And the kid, because he's like listening and looking around, he's not paying attention. And he says, one of the coaches goes, Steger, your fucking jersey. Steger says, I'm trying. Fucking Daryl's looking at him. He says, I'm fucking freaking out. Because I got my jersey on backwards, but he said that was kind of weird. I just wondered if he always did that. If he, like, stay in the room after he addressed you, or did he, leave?
No, I mean, he would leave.
He would leave, yeah.
He was just always kind of roaming around and...
Never knew.
Never knew what was going to happen.
Did you tell me he came in at, like, 4 o'clock? You guys are just getting a coffee and music's playing.
Yeah, music blaring in the room and... taping our sticks, and he come in there, his tie's kind of like, you know, half undone like it always is, and he gets in like a football stance and with his hands on his knees and he's bent over and he's rocking back and forth and he's screaming in the room at us about being ready and let's go, you know, and the music's blaring, you can barely hear him and stuff. And
imagine like,
what's going on
when he spit too, spitting.
Oh yeah.
So when he does that, is that like, obviously guys think he's like, he's fucking around, but they're not sure how to deal with it. Is he trying to be funny, or is he trying to play the mind game? Is he trying to just
he's just intense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's intense. You know, he's intense. Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable guy.
That's
but he's intense, you know. he's not coming in there on just doing that out of, you know, on purpose.
Just for fun, yeah.
He's just doing it.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this when you were on a couple of years ago, but, like, man, like, some of your coaches, you had some intense coaches. Like, think about it, Keenan, Sutter, Shoney. Yeah. Like, you had more than that, but, I mean.
They're
like
tough, yeah. They're all pretty, intense and, you know, all a little bit different, but they're all great. And, I mean, just, you know, they all just want you to compete and play with intensity.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big thing with those three guys, you know. Yeah. You got to play hard. If you don't, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
Or he don't want you. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, exactly.
They just don't want you.
Pretty straightforward.
You
got
to play hard.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. And that's what they demand from everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Torts is probably one of the last few kind of like, I mean, yourself included in that list, like, say, old school kind of, I say old school type of coaches. Like, you've obviously adapted to, like, the new age game because you have to and communicate and listen to the players. But, I mean, do you see it going where it's like, not that a coach would never demand hard work or expect the players to compete, but, like, that kind of what you're describing from the coaches.
Well, I think you got to have a different approach nowadays with players, and there, you know, you got to communicate. There's a lot of communication on a daily basis with your players, you know, one-on-one stuff or just, you know, being around and talking to them. I think that's really important. And so they understand what's expected out of them and how things are going. And I think that's important to just talk to your players.
Yeah,
about a lot of things, not just hockey, you know, and just
get
to know your players well. And, you know, I think that's the biggest difference. I don't think coaches, like when I played for them, three guys that you said, they weren't too interested in that kind of stuff. You know,
right.
It wasn't the
different
same.
Game.
Different game.
Way different. Yeah.
So definitely a lot more communication nowadays. And you can't yell and scream all the time. That's not going to do anything. And. Yeah, for sure. You have to say things, and you have to get pissed off, or you do get pissed off at times. But it can't be a consistent thing because it's just going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to find different approaches to get the players, and they're all different. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to try to figure out what's best for each individual.
Yeah, yeah, that's important.
Yeah, you do have to get to know them. changing gears here a little bit. Keith Jones, one of your best friends, gets the president's job. I think you were probably the only guy that really knew. I think he said he was you were the first guy he told. But it's nice to see. I know you've been in St. Louis and everything, but you obviously had a big part of the Flyers organization for a long time, and maybe hopefully you will down the line here. But he's done a pretty good job, and they're doing a good job with the culture of things, like trying to bring that back.
Well, I think Torts came in. When Torts came in, he changed the culture, and that was his first job in his head to do, to change the culture, which he's done a great job. That's Torts's. He's done really, really good job of that, for sure, and that's been the biggest difference. And, you know, Danny Breer and Jonesy taking over now. They understand the Flyers culture. They played here for quite some time. Both of them had success here. So they're really doing a good job of directing this organization in the right place.
Yeah, I agree. It's been, it was obviously, again, you were in St. Louis, but I'm sure you saw bits and pieces, but it turned into a bit of a shit show here for a couple of years, just with not even the hockey side, even the business side was a little wildly, you know, things weren't going the way they probably wanted, and the team wasn't doing well, which never helps, obviously, but it's great turnaround since they took over, and they care. You know, Jonesy is better than anyone, and Danny B's like that little guy, you know, like we've talked about him before, like even when he played, like Danny actually played in a pretty game was still pretty hard, like for a little guy, and he got in those dirty areas and scored, but he's a competitor, he competes, he never likes to lose, so I thought it was a great hire, bringing, you know.
Very good. They're both good hockey guys, you know. Danny's been involved with the Flyers at some level for a while.
Yeah.
So he's been around and was a great player. Like you said, he was a highly competitive guy for a score, you know, and that's how he scored goals. Being competitive, around, very good around the net, great guy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable teammate. And then Jonesy, been in hockey a long time doing TV. He sees the game.
Yeah.
He's seen every player. Yeah. I mean, he really has a good handle on the players and how, you know, what success looks like because of doing TV for so long. He's been around it. And also he's, you know, he's a very good ambassador for the organization from a fan standpoint, because the fans really, you know, obviously recognize him, but they relate to him very well. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be important. And, and that it's been important for to get the fan base on board and what's going on.
Yeah. Were you surprised when he transitioned from media into that president's job? Was that something that you talked to you
about? I didn't really know about it, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't know if he was thinking that way or not, to be honest.
Yeah, it seemed kind of come out of the blue.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because when they were naming all these people and then they said him, I'm like, why don't we really think of that?
Yeah,
like,
no, honestly, his name was never mentioned.
Because of everything you just said. Yeah. Like, so many things on the positive side with him. And he was on a little while back, too, and he had some – I know he and Shoney used to get into it quite a bit.
Oh, God.
He had some pretty good
unbelievable
stories.
I've never seen a coach and a player go at it so much in my entire career. Well, there was Keenan went at it with a few guys here back in the day, but I don't know as much as Jonesy and Shoney, though. They went at it all the time. There was some funny stuff.
Keenan liked go after Ilka Sinisalo. Ilka always told me a few good stories about him.
He had a few guys he went after pretty consistently, Keenan, back in the day. Carson and, you know, Pete Zezel, I guess, to a certain point. And Scotty Mellenby.
Yeah.
My God.
Because the guys that wouldn't fire back, or you knew the
kids, though, right? You guys were
Well, Scotty was a kid.
Right.
Pete was young, too. Not so much Lindsay, but and Ilka, older and been around. But Scotty was a young kid. He was hard on Scotty. Very hard.
Yeah.
To a fault.
Yeah.
For no reason. Like, Scotty was a pretty good player and played hard and, you know, played the right way. But Keenan, just for some reason, because he'd come out of college and made the team, kind of bothered him.
Not a lot of guys do that back then?
There wasn't many guys.
Now it's
Now it's a lot. But back then there wasn't. But, you know, to Scotty's credit, he grinded through it and, you know, just did what he had to do. And obviously had a great career.
Yeah, I mean, my first year in Florida, you know, Mel was there. He scored 30 goals that year.
Yeah,
we missed the playoffs by 1 point that year, actually, in Florida. I was going to say, Ilka used to always tell us one story of Keenan benched him in the third. It's tie game or something and get a power play. And he goes over and he kind of kicks Ilka in the butt and say, like, think you can score a goal, Ilka, or Sinisalo, whatever he called him. He goes, pretty hard from here, Mike. Fucking boys, he said, the boys are laughing. He goes, get out there, you know.
Did he score?
I don't know. I think they did score, but I don't think he did. I think that's what he said, but probably he had a few good ones.
Talk went after Mike one time in Calgary. Mike called him something on the bench and Talk went after him and Homer had to get between them.
Oh,
yeah. The peacemaker.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that before. The skate Homer, zone basketball league. Yeah. We needed a ref for those games. But, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, growing up, it was like you'd never talk back to your coach. Like, it was like, you know, to hear stories like this, like, fuck you matches between players and coaches is like hilarious.
It happens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all part of it, really. Yeah. It's,
I think some of those guys probably enjoy it. You know, I think like Keenan and Shawnee probably like won't expect it or something back.
I don't think you should let it affect you. I mean, that's just emotions.
Yeah.
You know, getting going. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't. It happens.
Yeah.
Ryan Reeves is telling a story about Hitch where he's like, you know, fuck, gave Hitch shit. Like, fuck all you fat. He called him something and. Next day, he's like, hey, Hitch, like, I'm really sorry. He goes, what are you talking about?
Hitch probably forgot about it.
Yeah, that's what he said. We had JR, we're talking about in New York there, too, and he jumped on the elevator because he just did the old bag chuck, and he was going out there in New York, and he put this yellow suit on, like this, you know, probably fucking $5,000 suit, and he just goes back out, hits a button while Hitch is on his way down. And JR gets on, he hits the next floor so he can get off. You don't want to be with him. Hitch says, now where are you going in a suit like that? You're going out. You're here for business. It's
going for dinner.
Where are you going in a suit like that? You know, like, and he's like, oh, I was bag chucking for sure.
Oh, yeah. Hitch might have been bag chucking too.
Oh, Hitch. That was your guy, though. You had him in junior, right? You had Hitch. We talked about that.
Yeah. Yeah, been around Hitch a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got in the Hall of Fame there?
Yeah, it was great.
It's awesome, man. Yeah, he was really good to me.
Yeah, he was good.
I liked Hitch. He was funny. I didn't mind him. Young Derek.
Young Derek, yeah. Anything else, Nest?
What do you got, Chief? Anything you want to tell us?
Inside scoops?
Any inside scoops?
No scoops, boys. I don't know. I'm out of the loop now.
You're out of the loop? Well, one of our insiders, TimmyParr.com, says there's lots of teams with interest in Craig Berube. But
Timmy Parr.
You know what's nice? You get to play golf a little bit more than normal. I know you'd rather be coaching. But
how you get? It's 25 degrees up.
I figured you could. You're not soft. You got the hand warmers, that vest that warms up.
I got good hands on the course. It's got to be 70 out so they work properly.
I'll tell you what you need to just take Pac-Man. You'll just feel better about everything.
Man, he'll put you to sleep.
Bring the pillow out. Yeah. Story time.
Watching him, the outfits he wears when he plays. How about in that COVID when we went and played down there in Delaware?
Oh, yeah.
Those pants he was wearing? What's wrong with you wearing that stuff? That's like John Daly pants, but like, remember those things?
Yeah.
He's
distracted.
I wore him for Chief.
You wore him for Chief.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny when we went and did that.
It was a long drive. Just to go play golf in the wind. It wasn't that warm then.
It wasn't that warm either.
None of us played that great.
No, I mean, I'll get a chance. I'll go down to Florida, maybe play some golf or something. Yep. We'll see what happens.
Now, I know we got a little bit of issue with the knee here. We're trying to clear up a little meniscus, but why aren't you playing in the alumni game?
Oh, when is it?
Riles needs another.
We could use a little meat.
Winger, yeah. It's him and Brownie. You, him, and Brownie.
Is Brownie playing?
Brownie's playing.
Yeah. I haven't played in a long time.
I don't know if that knee can take it right now.
No, I don't think I'm going to play.
Pickleball challenge. Fucking knee's banged up.
It's part of the rehab program.
I don't move too much on the ice.
Homer's challenging you to pickleball. You can't go.
Oh, yeah. Homer wants to play pickleball.
He loves that pickleball. Chief, honestly, man, we appreciate you, dude. Know you're busy with all the kids and stuff, even though you're kind of like chilling out, but we appreciate you coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, it's always great to see you guys and chat a little bit, and it's good. Real good
stuff.
Give
us inside
scoops. We had a lot of good times together.
Yes, we did. Yes, you know? We did. Hopefully more to come, too.
Yep.
I'm hoping.
For sure.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Big thank you to the Chief.
This guy's unbelievable.
Oh, man. So walking legend.
Legend. Thankful he could come in and see us today. It sucks he's here on those reasons, but as we can see, he's doing just fine. And yeah. You know, maybe a little, no, I wouldn't say relief, but, you know, but maybe time to get out of there. And you still get paid.
Not a bad deal.
And if the weather's nice, play golf.
Why not? May as well hit
you
up
should
the
go, links. You should
I could probably use a lesson or two.
He would see you tee off and he'd be like,
walk off the course.
Hey, Riles, have a seat.
Yeah.
I'll just
caddy. I'll just caddy.
Yeah. You just light one up.
Yeah.
And fucking enjoy. No, but thanks to Chief. He's the man.
He is.
Treated me well since I was a kid, since I met him, man.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, always appreciated his insights and his energy and his sarcasm and
so fun.
All that funny shit. Yeah. So, moving on, it's that time, Nast.
Are you sure it's that time?
Oh, 100% sure.
Is it time for the Clear Rum Questions?
Mm-hmm.
Clear Rum Questions brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop. Type in Nasty 2023 and get 35% off of your order in PA only. And I'm going to tell you, that's a restock because they're gonzo.
The holiday edition.
Oh, my God. I didn't know. You know, the one thing is I didn't know you were, like, I was trying to break records, like, 6 in, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah. How did that go?
I was crippled.
Oh, I bet.
I was overserved. That's the problem.
Happens.
Puke and rally. You just can't, but you can't put six waters in you in 10
You're resilient,
minutes.
Just like Smithers.
You're that Smithers. You and I, we have that in common.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Clear Rum questions.
All right, here we go.
The people want to know your thoughts on the current team. This one is from Justin Giam. Do you expect the Flyers offense to bounce back, or will the last few games be more or less what they are now?
I think they're bouncing back, Nast.
I think they bounced back. Yeah. I mean, they scored 4 in Van, and if you're looking at the last 4 games, they scored 6, 10. They scored. Oh no, they didn't score that many. Actually, they scored 5, 8, 10 goals in the last 4 games, which they had been scoring. We were talking about their scoring if their power play got going.
Yeah,
which is still, you know, a bit of a struggle. I think they'll bounce back. They get their goals off of hard work. Some, obviously, there are some goals where there's a lot of skill involved because mm-hmm. these guys are skilled. But I think they'll bounce back. You know, it's a you don't make excuses because everyone has the same schedule. But, you know, you go, they've been out west how many times now? Like, I mean, it's just a lot of back and forth. But the Roxy could have had something to do with the next three games. I'm just kidding, Torch. No one went anywhere. I think they'll be okay.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I really do. I mean, as hard as they work.
Yeah, right? Exactly. They've been pretty consistent, I would say.
Yep.
Most of the year. I think that Western trip is a little bit of a dry spell. And I mean, the foundation is nicely laid as far as the work. And you're saying they're scoring goals based on their work.
Yeah.
I think they'll get back to it. And if you can get their power play clicking like 2-4% more, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Half a goal a game extra. I mean, it obviously certainly helps. I don't know. I like the way the team is playing, so I'd like to think that they're going to bounce back and,
right,
you know, start taking care of the defensive zone and just working outwards. I mean, they're playing with a lot of energy and speed. They're, yes, generating opportunities on just pure effort. So,
right. Yeah, I think one thing we haven't really talked about, and we don't have to get into it now, but, like, we need Cam Atkinson to get to get going, get hot. You know, he's just snake bit right now. Yeah. He's had chances, but hopefully he can get one that leads to 2, 3, 4, 5, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that'll help, too, if he gets going, which hopefully he will here in the second half.
Yeah,
I think so. To answer the question, it's a good question.
It is.
I think they'll get back to score more goals.
I think so, too.
That guy, RDK, over on Instagram, he wants to know, with how the team has had a huge turnaround season, do you feel that getting rid of certain players played a part in the new focus on the team?
I'll start. I think so. I think, you know, a couple guys just needed to move on. You know, I think this happens a lot in sports. Guys are in a certain situation for years, and it's just like they need to move on and open up just room for different chemistry. So I think, you know, Hayes needed to move on. I think that was probably a couple years coming.
Yeah.
You could argue Provy, too. You know, there's nothing wrong with Provy, but I think, like, he may be a little bit unhappy with certain situations. I think you probably could have moved them a year ahead, too. But I mean, nothing negative about these guys, but sometimes the energy gets stale in certain situations and teams. But I'd like to think that just making room for some young blood, new energy, you know what I mean? It's not about their lack of skill or whatever, it's just new chemistry. I think we see it with the team now.
Yeah.
Young blood. You know, there's a little more cohesion. Guys are buying in.
Yeah.
And they're finding ways to win games.
So. Especially, I agree with you, Riggs. Like, especially with, like, bringing in Sean Walker, which has been a pleasant surprise. Not that we thought the guy could play. Obviously, he's played in the NHL. He's a player. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's really played well.
Yeah.
And in contributing some goals, too. And Big Zamula has stepped up the last few games. I know he didn't do that well on the trip, but he's got put on a power play, and he's looked pretty damn good. He scored a couple. Hathaway, that was a really good pickup as well. Like, he has an effect in the game. He's one of those players. He's a flyer-type player. Yep. Right? He's in your face.
Yeah,
maybe not always fighting, but
He's shit gritty.
Disturber, he's and he's gritty, and he plays hard every night.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. Like, sometimes it's just time.
Yeah, it's time. And then you get Coots and Atkinson back, right? So you get some leadership guys back. Yeah. You move some guys along. The chemistry changes, and the team just seems to be more united than it was before. So
it does. It really does. But you got to give.
Great question.
You know, some people don't like Torts antics. I don't want to say antics, but the way he does things, but you just can't argue right now with the way he has those guys going, and you can tell they're a tight group.
Yeah,
really can. So it's good to see, and I think that helps, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
We got one final one from Barstool Wags. Wagsy wants to know, why is Lawton on the fourth line? He's better than Paling. He's put in his time suffering with the franchise. Him and TK were unstoppable in the bubble, and now they only play PK. Why not try it 5-on-5? The potential he has and what's been given to him makes me physically ill.
Well, you know, it's a good question because Lotz is that guy that can move up and down the lineup. He's also a team guy. And I could probably tell you, and you as well, Riggs, you coached him. He's okay with it.
Yeah, I was just going to say exactly that.
You know, does he want to be first line, first power play? Everybody does that plays. And you're right asking the question there. Like, he is a he does have skill, Lawrence. Yeah. He's fast. He's smart. But, you know, it's just the way the coaches have him in the lineup right now, and you don't see him bitching or complaining, and that's the reason he has an A on his sweater.
Exactly.
Probably, you know, with him and Coots, one of them, the captain. Even though Coots isn't wearing a letter, we only have one guy. But it is a great question because he can play, you know, up in the lineup. You know, what are your thoughts?
Well, exactly your thoughts. Loss is just such a good leader and so good at dealing with adversity that the coach could put him on the fourth line, and he knows that Lots will go down there with a good attitude, play his ass off, be a good team guy. And however it plays out, it will play out that way. But he's not going to go down there sulking, and he's just that, he is that guy. As you said, like, there's not many guys that can move up and down the line like that without any sort of blimp on their, you know, their emotional radar. Like, it should be an honor to be that guy, because the coach has that much ability and faith in you that, like, you could send a guy down to the fourth line and know that he's going to be not just okay there, but good for, you know, the chemistry of that line. So, but yeah, third line, second line, you could slot this guy anywhere.
Yep.
And there's not many guys like Lots that you can actually do that with.
That's true.
You know, without, like, I would say Torts could probably sleep at night knowing that Lots is going down there. He's not have to worry about coddling Lots the next day of, like,
100%.
Oh, let's get him back on the third line or second line. Yeah. You know, it's you know, he'll be fine there. As long as he needs to be there. You know,
right.
I think the team's, you know, recognizes that. And I think it's good for the team.
You're right. And also, if you watch the games, if that line's going, it's not really a fourth line.
Well, that's it.
You know, like, if they're rolling lines and, you know, they're making things happen, he's putting them back out there. Yeah. So I don't know what his minutes are exactly for, you know, when he's playing on that fourth line role. Obviously, he's killing penalties, like Baller said. But he's just that guy. You can do that. I understand the question though, why, because
he can do so much.
But I can tell you this: Lots is not upset about it because the team's doing well and he plays his balls off every night either way.
Exactly.
So,
that's a good question.
Great question though.
Mm-hmm. That's a wrap, Nast.
That's a wrap. 141.
Clear questions. Oh, 141. Clear questions in the book.
Yes.
Anything going on next week?
Next.
Look forward to.
Well, we got the alumni game coming up.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yes, we do.
We sure do. And you going to bury with the Toves?
Of course.
You got a new Toves coming?
I got a new Toves coming. I got the specs in for Aaron. He's going to order me up a brand new one.
Oh,
a couple hours extras.
Where's Aaron? Where you been, Aaron? Hadn't seen you in a while, bud.
Mm-hmm.
Sleeping. He's in Hershey every night watching Bryce K.
All
the way.
Yes, he is. Yep.
Bury goals.
Fresh twig, though. Well, you'll get one, too. Don't worry. Mm-hmm.
Just get the extra scraps, the twigs, to the bench.
The brand new twig that it's getting manufactured for me.
Well, how about our boys, fans of Philly?
Oh,
it's coming soon. It's coming
it's
soon.
Creeping. It's creeping. It's creeping. I can't wait.
MetLife Stadium.
Oh, man.
Can't wait. Going to see Joe tonight, later tonight at the game.
Tell him to say what's up.
I will. He'll ask where you are. I'll tell him you're in bed.
Tell him marketing fans of Philly, Nasty Knuckles.
Yep, and Boston. Don't forget about Boston, March 17th.
Can't forget that
one. It's right between our birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting after it. Mm-hmm. Green beer, one swig. You have to. It's your birthday.
Well.
Go, Riley. It's your birthday. And then mine the next day.
We'll talk about
that. We'll
be
hungover. Yeah. Right,
we belly up. We can't even make it to the game.
Where's the double D?
Oh, man.
Little dandy, eh, Debo? Would you have to come back from a little hungsy?
Oh.
A little hung titty?
Don't miss that.
Ooh. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, it's a great feeling.
Makes you know
feel like
you're
death.
Alive.
Yeah, I know, right? You appreciate life after feeling death. Yes,
do.
That's for sure.
But can't wait, man. Fans of Philly.
Yep.
Awesome.
Looking forward to
can't
it.
Can't wait.
And that's a wrap, Nast. 141 in the books.
In the books.
Until next week, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.